There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Everything Iconic. I'm Danny Pellegrino and I'm here with a very special guest, Brian Moylan, who I feel like Bravo viewers know exactly who you are because you write the brilliant Vulture recaps. You're currently writing the Summer House recaps.
Yeah.
Right?
And
Vanderpump.
Right.
Your Vanderpump ones are so funny. I love how you end everyone with the Tom and Tom fan fiction.
Yeah, that's my favorite too.
It's so good. Do you just think of those like scenarios in your head ahead of time or do they just come out as they?
They just kind of come out. Or when I'm watching, I'm always looking for like, oh, what can I turn into Tom and Tom, you know, making out. But when I started doing them, my editor was like, girl, you need to tone this down.
Like really gay, really.
Yeah, well, just like really graphic. And so now I try to make them like more suggestive than, you know.
Have you heard from either of them about it?
I interviewed them once and yeah, they knew about it and they were into it.
They like it.
Yeah. I mean, I think they like the attention and whatever. They know that it's not, that they're not really fucking.
Right.
So
I know. And I know them a little bit and it's like, they're not gay, but I see online all the time people are like, he's definitely gay. About Sandoval or Schwartz.
No, I don't think they are. But no. I do think that they love each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's just, yeah. And so it's just kind of taking that to its extreme.
Brian, do you have a favorite Housewives? We're going to talk New Jersey and Summer House, but do you have a favorite franchise and a favorite lady?
My favorite franchise is New York.
Mine too.
And with Atlanta is a close second.
Okay.
I ghost wrote Erika Jayne's book, so we have a special relationship. So she, I don't want to say she's my favorite housewife because I know her as a person, but so with the caveat that I love Erika, my favorite housewife to watch is Sonia Tremont Morgan because
the best.
Oh my God, I love her so much.
What do you like about Erika Jayne? What was the experience like working with her?
It was great. She's such a hard worker. I don't know that people get that impression on the show, but yeah, she works really hard and she knows exactly what she wants and like you have to deliver. And I think that that's what makes her really good. But she's also open to collaboration and she'll ask what you think and you'll tell her and then she'll kind of make her decision. So
as a ghostwriter myself, I know it can be always different depending on who the client is and stuff like that. It's like always different. So what you're with Erika Jayne, were you like sitting down interviewing her or was she writing chapters and then sending to you? Like what was that?
We did, it was all interviews and I was in New York at the time and she was in LA and I came here to LA a few times and did some stuff in person, but it was mostly over the phone. And so we do like a few hours at a time. And then I would send her chapters and she never went to college. And so her last formal schooling was in the 80s. Mm. And so she's not especially computer savvy, let's say. Okay. So I would email her the chapters and the assistant would print them out. And she would read them on paper and make notes. And then we call on the phone and she'd be like, okay, this sentence, change this.
That's so funny.
So yeah, whereas I've worked with other people where I'll send it to them on Google Docs and they make their own changes and whatever. But no, not with Erika.
I've had an experience like that with Erika Jayne. And you're like waiting. It's like you have to wait for them to print everything out. And you're like, just do it on the computer.
Yeah. But no, she wants to. The other thing that's crazy about Erika Jayne is I would show up sometimes to work with her and she would be like no makeup, hair in a messy ponytail and in yoga clothes. And she is tiny and gorgeous.
Oh, interesting.
Without like a stitch of makeup.
Without the glam squad.
Without all of that. Like just as her like going to the gym, she is stunning.
Did you get to meet the Mikey of it all? And
I met Mikey. I met Lai. Well, I, you know, worked a lot with Lai, her assistant who's on the show occasionally. who's lovely. I did not get to meet Tom.
Yeah. Are you happy about that? Does it feel like you didn't need to meet him?
I don't think so, because we talk about him through Erica's perspective. And so, you know, I got all that.
So you were doing the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills recaps at the time when the book came out, right? Did you get a lot of heat online?
Like,
did
Oh my God, yes.
Right.
Still, everyone's like, well, he's in Erica's pocket. And what? And it's like, if I say something nice about Erica, they're like, it's because they're friends. If I say something mean about her, they're like, oh, you should have been meaner. So, like, people aren't going to be happy. So I just say what I want to say. And I'm always nice to Erica, but I was always nice to Erica before.
Right.
So it's not like I'm going to start being mean to her. Like,
I find that with Ariana and Tom, because people, I recap Vanderpump Rules on this show, and I hear from people all the time, and it's like, there's no winning, because if you're, you know, if I'm too hard on that, or if I'm too mean to them, it's like, people are like, upset with me, their fans are upset, and then if I don't say anything, but I felt the same way, where it's like, I wouldn't have worked with them if I didn't like them before.
Exactly.
Like, so if Jax came to me with the book idea, I wouldn't take it, or I wouldn't take the project on. But it is frustrating. You, like, want to defend yourself, but it's like, there's no winning.
Well, also, I think it's a bit different when you do get to know them. And, not the past reunion, the one before where Erica didn't do very well and she looked, like, mad and whatever.
Yeah, like a stick-up her ass, that reunion.
Yeah, and I talked to her and she was like, oh, I had, like, an awful headache and I wasn't feeling well. And then, you know, I had, like, a Coke and ate some lunch and I felt better afterwards. And so, it's like, I hear that from her and then I see that and I'm like, oh, okay, she's, like, she's unhappy for this reason, whereas everyone's like, oh, you should say that she's this, that, and the other thing. But it's like, no, but she's kind of like my friend and I believe her. Right. So, yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, I've just noticed that recently. And with Ariana and Tom's book, like, I had been working with them since I started the podcast. Like, I think we started like a month into my podcast launching. And so it's like, if you like, but then people would be like, the recaps change, you're biased now. And I'm like, if you liked them before, they're still the same recap.
And also, like, I always joke about the journalistic integrity of Real Housewives recaps. Like, you're like, oh, sorry, I'm opinionated. Like, fuck you, dude. Like, who cares?
Yeah, we're talking about, like, servers in West Hollywood or
yeah,
it's like, ridiculous.
Like, okay, it's like, I like certain housewives more than others for all sorts of reasons.
Right.
And yeah.
I found that these people are all in general very divisive people. Like, and that's what makes a good reality TV star, is if they're divisive. But certain ones are just more so than others. Like, I had a Katie Maloney on the show from Vanderpump Rules, and she, that episode, like, I heard more from anyone else. Like, I got so many angry messages. How dare you? And it was the same thing. I'm like, we're talking about nonsense. But how dare you have her on and that kind of thing. And then it was the highest downloaded episode I've ever done. Like, it was like more than anyone else.
So, well, and I think that there is something, you know, about, and Andy said it, like, the love to hate versus hate to hate. Like, when they get to a point where I think Katie Maloney is someone that I love to hate.
Right.
And and so there is something about that. Yeah. But it shocks me how, no matter who the housewife is, even the most loathsome of them, there are people that love them and there are people that hate them. And and it shocks me who has detractors and who has diehard fans.
Right. You're writing a book about housewives right now, right?
I am. Yes. So it's like the history of housewives and kind of the cultural impact of it. So talking to, like, academics who study housewives, people like you who do, you know, housewives podcasts, merch, stuff like that. So, you know, I wrote a bunch about BravoCon and just kind of, like, getting into the whole, like, mind of the fans and why we love this and why we watch it. And
what are you learning?
I'm learning that the experience is different for everybody, but there are some similarities unto why we love The Real Housewives so much. But I've found it really interesting to get into really, like, the scientific academic of it, where people are writing these papers for academic journals about, you know, like, class and blackness and, you know, race and how it plays out in housewives and stuff. And I've also been looking into some studies about why people engage with reality television in general, and, you know, what they take away from it, whether it's, they found that people that like reality television the most are often lonely people who are like looking for sort of, like vicarious friends, but also the shared experience of fandom with other people.
Right.
So I found that really interesting because, I mean, I see that in myself, but also I don't really think of myself as necessarily lonely. But,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's been really interesting. And, you know, but all the juicy stuff I'm going to save.
So you're interviewing housewives for it, right?
I've interviewed some housewives, yes. Bravo is not participating.
Okay.
So they actively called most of the housewives and told them that they weren't allowed to speak to me.
Oh my God, interesting.
So, but
was that frustrating for you, or were you like, it didn't matter because you already had the angle of the book?
I mean, I feel like the more interesting people to talk to anyway, and I have found this to be true as I've been doing it, is like the editors.
Oh, okay.
The producers, the people who are making the shows, because I think a lot of the time, and I have talked to former housewives, and you know, some off the record, some on. I haven't talked to any current housewives, but I have found that the housewives aren't as clued into what's really going on with them as the people kind of watching it get made. Like they're just kind of living the, as we know, you know, you've met enough of them to know that this is just how they are.
Right.
And so they're just kind of living their lives and it's on film.
You know, I was thinking recently about the Tamara and Vicky of it all because they got fired. And I was thinking like, that is such a, must be such a mind fuck.
Yes.
Like particularly Vicky, how many years, 14 or years or whatever.
Yeah.
She had this job and now she's just out of that job. And it must be a mind fuck to go back to civility.
Yes.
And it's like, well, do you find another TV gig? And I was just reading, I don't know, it was today or yesterday, where there's a non-compete. And I don't know if it was true or it might have just been something
right.
where they're not supposed to go on TV for another year.
Really?
That's, I don't know. It was in a blog, but so maybe it could have been made up, but that they have to wait a year before they could do another show.
Huh.
And I don't know if that's true, but I was thinking like, what a mind fuck. Like, what do? You've done this for 12, 14 years. And now you're just thrust back into your real life.
Well, that's what I was thinking when I was watching the last episode of Vanderpump Rules. What will Jax do when they cancel the show? Like, he has no marketable skills other than the following that he's a master of reality television. If they kick him off Vanderpump Rules, like, what other show does he go on? Can he go be on The Challenge? Like, I don't know. Do they go on reality marriage boot camp?
WE TV.
Yeah.
Well, it's weird you say that because MTV now, they've like branched off where they're bringing in older, both older people and people from like other networks. So they, I think X on the Beach has New York from wonderful New York. I love her. But, and they had Aubrey O'Day and like, they're doing different kind of people, but I'm like, yeah, what are they going to do? What's Jax going to do afterwards?
So I live in London and they have this amazing reality television ecosystem where it's like, if you get on a show, then there are all these other like celebrity reality shows. But because they have fewer actual famous people than we do, they're mostly reality stars. Mm. So they have a show called Dancing on Ice, which is like Dancing with the Stars, but ice skating. And it's all people who are
Remember when Bethany Frankel?
Yes. Yes, exactly. And those are the kind of people they get. Like, you know, people who are on Love Island, people who were contestants on X Factor, whatever. And so, like, I don't know if you watch Drag Race UK, but Bag of Chips, who was on that, who was a fan favorite, has now become part of that. So she's on all the panel shows. She's going on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of It, like shows like that.
Yeah.
So I wish that we had more of that here than we do, especially for the Jax Taylors of the world.
And I sense a turnover coming with Vanderpump Rules. They're either going to have to split it into two shows or get rid of a bunch of people because 19 cast members is what they have this season. It's just too
many. That's insane. Really? It's you count it?
Yeah, well, there was like a press release I read and it had all the cast. It like went into each cast member and there were 19 of them. That's who is in like the official cast. Plus you have people like Peter who, Peter's not considered a cast member. But he's still someone that shows up. But it's
do you think he's getting paid to be on? That's what I was thinking. Is that like I know that the old school people are making a fair amount of money, but how much is Max making? How much is Dana making?
Well, I also wondered, people like James this season who are off for episodes, they must be on some sort of like episode-to-episode pay scale, right? Because he's not appearing in every episode.
Either that or they do it like they do Friend Of, where you get paid per filming.
Oh.
So every time you film, even if they don't use it, you get $5,000.
Because I was thinking that's what I've been saying I'm most intrigued by this season is like, what's the pay scale for these people? Because it's just 19 cast members. There's no way they all got raises this season or something like that. They all had to have taken cuts or have been doing some sort of other.
Raquel would pay $5,000 a season to be on the show. She would give them money.
She would give them money.
She'd be like, here, take everything. Mommy, write them a check. I want to be on the show.
I need more Raquel. I like Miss Raquel and James so much. You're not a Raquel fan.
The only thing I like about Raquel is making fun of her.
Yeah.
Because she's just so, she's so dumb and she wants it so bad.
Yeah, yeah. I last season I was like, we need less of Raquel, and then now I'm getting less of her, and I'm like, I need more.
I do like the thing I like, and I like this about Atlanta too, whereas the cast has gotten so big with all of these Friends Of and husbands and boyfriends and whatever, that it's starting to feel more like a universe. Like an old school soap opera where there's just so many people.
You're right.
And I do enjoy that about this, but so many of these Vanderpump Rules people I can't get into caring about.
No, I know, and they're too separate from the other cast members. And actually, on the flip side of the coin, I feel like New Jersey, while I'm really liking it, they have much smaller group.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel that in the episodes. It feels like we have like one side character of Danielle, and there's not a whole lot of other people coming into that universe.
Well, New Jersey, I believe, is the only one where the husbands get paid.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense because they're all in confessionals, right? I think Joe Gorga has confessionals. But so wait, I wonder.
And that's why they get together when the women aren't around. Because they're getting paid.
So wait, I have a question you might know. For the other franchises, like let's say on Orange County, like when Jolie is on a confessional, like they have to pay her, right, for a confession?
I don't know about, I know some kids get paid. Like the New Jersey kids, like the Manzo kids, they got paid. Ryan, Tamara's son last season was getting paid. But I don't think Sean Bronwyn's husband was getting paid and he was in some of the confessionals. So yeah, I don't know. But I do know that one of the distinctions they make is that when you're a friend of, they won't go to your house. Like they won't like show you on your own, like doing your stuff. Which is why, so this year we only saw Vicky when she was with everybody.
Who do you think should be a friend? Is there anyone that's a current housewife that you think needs to be demoted to a friend of or would work better as a friend of?
I mean, I think that there are some people.
I think Melissa Gorga would work better as a friend of.
I love Melissa Gorga.
I like her too, but I feel like her individual storylines are just. Like the fake having the baby thing.
Oh my God.
It's like
so
it's
fake.
Like so stupid.
I'm going to find my sister that doesn't exist.
Yes. So every one of her storylines, and I'm like, she would be so perfect, I think, to just pop in, go to all the group events. She could still do confessionals and everything, but like we would just get rid of those storylines that are just, we all know are fake.
See, I'm a big fan of, I say just get rid of them and replace them. I'm also not a big fan of Bring Back X because. I mean, Bravo has gifted us so many great people that they have dug up from nowhere. Like, you know, people were saying, bring back, I don't know, Alexis Bellino.
Yeah.
And they went and found Shannon Bedore.
Right.
Like, so why do we need this old person that we know when there are... You've gifted us so many treasures.
And I'm a fan of the turnover of shows like Below Deck and Summer House, where it's like, let's keep some people, but bring new people in, and let's not be afraid to get rid of people.
Yes, I love that about Below Deck. And I just got into Below Deck recently.
Oh,
and
are you
part of the
it?
Reason why was, oh, well, who are all these new people? Whatever. But yeah, I'm really into it. My husband has been spurring us on watching it because he particularly likes the... changing into your different outfits, camera shots of the boys.
I like that too. Yeah, I like that
too. And
that's
what I like about Summer House too. It's the like security
voyeurism.
Camera.
It's like a little bit voyeuristic. And I recently got into Below Deck too. Like I watched the early season, then I fell off, and now I'm like fully hooked, addicted. Like I want all of them.
Yeah.
And Summer House too. Like I was, let's talk.
And the guys are really hot. Same on Summer House.
Summer House. I know that new guy, Luke.
Ooh, he's so hot.
He's so hot. No personality, at least for the first episode.
I'm into that. I mean, just
show me him shirtless.
Yeah.
What did you make of the premiere of Summer House?
I liked it a lot. I had seen last summer, 4th of July, I was in Sag Harbor and saw Carl and Lindsay making out, and there were no cameras around. And so
so that must mean this whole thing is because I had a theory that like Lindsay and Carl got together and they're like, okay, this cast turnover is going to happen. We need to, you know, create something for ourselves.
No, I think it's real. So we saw them 4th of July. So the premiere episode was filmed the week before 4th of July. So we saw them.
Which is late too. Like, I wonder why they don't start in June. Is that just the season of, I'm not familiar with
it. I mean, usually it's Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Right.
But maybe they don't have the house for that long, or maybe they just do an 8-week shoot.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's fewer episodes than I think a lot of Bravo shows.
So you saw them making out.
We saw them making out. No. So my husband and I were joking because we were staying on Shelter Island, which is kind of next to the Hamptons. So we were going into the Hamptons for lunch. I was like, oh, what if we see Summer House? What if we see Summer House? And we're joking. Then we go to this restaurant and in walks fucking 7-foot-tall Carl, and you're like, holy shit. So he and Lindsay were at a table. It looked like she was crying, and
A camera to be found?
Not a camera to be found.
Oh my God.
And I was like, on the Saturday of 4th of July weekend, how did you get away from the cameras? And so it looked like she was crying, and he was comforting her. And I was like, oh, there must have been some drama at the house. And then they started making out, and we were like, what?
See, this is, I find that with Vanderpump Rules, you'll see them out in the wild here, and it is sort of surprising because you're like, oh, it's real.
Yeah.
But then when I'm watching, sometimes I'm thinking, like, this seems made up or fake. But then out in the wild, you see them being real.
I think that Vanderpump, of all of them, is, I don't want to say scripted. I don't think they tell them what to say, but I think that somebody, probably Lisa Vanderpump, is like, Tom Schwartz, you're going to have a case of money and you're going to bring it in.
Right, right.
You know, like that was clearly fake and staged. Mm-hmm. And fine.
I think Sheena and Dana is fake and staged too. That like that whole relationship this season.
Yes.
It seems fake too.
And the whole Max, Dana, Sheena, all of that. Like,
did you see how Max and Brett, like their confessionals, they had the first episode and they've gone away. They have no confessionals.
Someone pointed that out, and it may be due to the
tweets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, we've been getting, I get screener episodes like a day early, and you can tell when stuff is going on because you start to get them really late.
Right. And the Vanderpump one for that week, they were off the confessionals, came really, I don't even think it came at all.
Yeah, it didn't come at all.
Right.
But they've been back on time, so... Yeah, who knows? But that might be a...
Okay, so back to Summer House, though. So what do you make of the new Luke? And then what was the other girl's name?
Jules. I see more promise in Jules than I do in Luke.
Yeah.
But we haven't really seen a lot of her because the Kyle, Amanda, all of that, I think, is taking up a lot of space. So I'll be interested.
Where do you stand on Kyle and Amanda?
I like Kyle and Amanda. I love Kyle.
I used to think Kyle was the most attractive person on Bravo.
I agree with you.
Like, he's beautiful, right?
Kyle, I wanted to do Kyle and Carl / fiction at the end of Summer House
Weekend.
That would
have been good.
But, like, I was like, oh, I can't do that for everything.
Oh, I would like it.
But, oh my God, I love them so much.
Yeah.
I bought my husband a Carl cameo for his birthday. Oh, that's the only cameo I ever bought.
So, your husband, see, I have no attraction to Carl. He does nothing for me.
Oh, I love Carl and Kyle.
Interesting.
But I like them together. However,
they'll get divorced, right?
well,
not that I hope that on anyone.
Kyle needs to give up drinking.
Yeah,
and I don't think he's an alcoholic, but when he drinks, he does stupid fucked up shit, and that's whenever Amanda gets mad at him, he's been drunk. And she's always like, I don't want you behaving like this. I don't want you disappearing at 1 a.m, you know, whatever. Well, if she wants that to happen, he needs to quit drinking.
But isn't this a vicious cycle? Because if Kyle were to stop drinking, what's he doing on the, like, what's happening on the show? And on some level, don't you think he needs, like, he probably thinks when he goes to the house, I need it. We need to get drunk. We need to make stuff happen. We need to be wild. That's what the show is. And so it's almost like a cycle.
Yeah, but I also think that he just does that. Because, yeah, like, when he got drunk and made out with, like, last season, remember, he got drunk and made out with some girl? I think that's just how he rolls. And I mean, he's 38. So yeah, I think that he's been doing this for a long time. And
she's in her 20s, right? She's young.
And I find the dynamic between him and her, and her and Paige and Hannah, really interesting. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like her allegiance is split between him and the girls, where the girls are kind of like, you should break up with him. And he's like,
because they're also closer in age, right? Yeah. Like, they're all young in their 20s. And yes, Kyle's not an old man, but he's older than everyone else in the house.
Yes. And I think that he, Carl, and Lindsay are of closer ages.
Yeah. I think Lindsay, I was just reading, is 31.
Oh, really? She's 32, that young?
31 or something like that. Wow. Do you think she was like 60?
No, I figured she was like in her middle 30s.
Oh, yeah.
She
yeah,
looks.
Yeah. She looks like she'd be 35 ish, 36.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She looks a
how
little
old's
bit.
How old's Carl? I don't know how old Carl is.
Carl is in his early 30s.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think it is weird that they brought in, not weird, but it is a totally new group of young people.
Yes,
with people who are pushing 40, and that's strange.
It's weird, but I think what was interesting, what makes the shows often their best, is when you have groups of people with existing relationships. So when you brought in like Paige and Hannah and Jordan, who all kind of worked together, at first it was like, huh? But then they became good friends with Amanda, and you get this sort of like blending together that I think has made the show really good. And I love Paige and Hannah so much.
I love them too.
They're the best addition to any Bravo show ever.
And Paige is like one, like, she's the most stunning person.
Gorgeous.
Like, she's so gorgeous. And I love Hannah. Hannah's gorgeous too. But I love them together. And they have a good friendly dynamic that
yes,
I enjoy. I sort of miss Jordan, though. Like, I thought Jordan was...
So Jordan's gay,
good,
right?
I mean, I don't know. He's, to me, he's just like, what's his name in Americans, or Patrick Bateman? Or
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's, he's just like creepy to me. But I thought that he was like someone that we all should love to hate. Like, I thought he was crazy last season, but like good for the show. And what I was thinking is, I bet you in like focus groups, if you were to focus group the show last season, probably everyone was like, I hate Jordan. But see, I thought that hate was good for the show.
I felt like he was too pathetic to hate like that. If that makes any sense.
Too sad.
Yeah, it's like, oh, girl. Like, I don't hate him. I just felt bad for him. Like, it seemed like there's something going on with him that he's struggling
he needs to deal with.
Yeah, and like, maybe it's that he's gay. Maybe it's that he's a virgin. I mean,
I don't know if I got the gay vibe from... I don't know. He's just crazy to me. He was like creepy to me in a weird way.
Yeah.
But like...
But I will say, last summer, I was in New York City, and I was walking down the street, and someone was walking towards me, and I was like, who the fuck is that? He is hot. And then as he got closer, it was
no,
Jordan.
Brian, it was, he looks good in person.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, it was like, before I could like recognize the face, like just like the body and the way he was moving, I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, it's Jordan.
I don't know why I'm thinking of this, but the most DMs I probably get about, you know, people send me DMs, as I'm sure they send you, of like, they ran into this person or that person. And I always love the ones where I get where it's like, I saw Jason Hoppe in the wild. And I don't know, Bethany's ex-husband.
Yeah.
It's like, I get so many of those, and they always make me so happy. It's like, he looked crazy, but he was hot. Like, and I don't know.
I'm fascinated by
I'm
Jason
so
Hoppe.
Fascinated by him. Somebody DM'd me recently. He was at a school concert. Like, their kids went to school with Bryn or something, and Jason was there with his parents. Fascinating.
Do you think he's as crazy as Bethany makes him out to be?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you?
I mean,
maybe not as crazy as Bethany makes him out to be.
I feel like,
but crazy.
I think that divorce can make people crazy, and this situation can make people crazy, but it's hard for me to square the Jason Hoppe that we saw on television with the Jason Hoppe who
poops in toilets and leaves it
and is like
remember he did? Wasn't that in a court document?
Oh, there
was,
I don't remember
that. Yeah, it was
that.
In a court document. Bethany would like come home and he would like leave his shit in the toilet.
Yeah. Like that seems crazy.
Crazy.
To me. Yeah. And that he would like, I believe that he was stalking her and send her hateful texts and all that shit. But from what we saw on television, he seemed like a kind of normal, decent person with a good, supportive family.
Oh,
and
see, I've done a lot of rewatches of Bethany Ever After. I do it about like once a year. I like to like just dive back
really?
In. Yeah, like once a year, and I encourage anyone to do it. They're on iTunes or something. I don't know where you can find them now. I bought them on iTunes years ago. And
so they're just sitting there waiting for you.
So anytime I want to view it, I usually do it on like a plane, like when I'm traveling, because it's on my iPad. Like they're just loaded on there. So anyway, I hop back in and every time I watch it, I find something new because I see the parents. I thought the same thing. I thought they were like nice Midwestern family.
Yeah.
And now I see the parents as like creepy and crazy and overbearing. And then I find that you can see moments where Bethany is clearly covering for him because she wants him to appear to be like the nice, she's fine to be like the mean one.
Yeah.
And I'm not even the biggest Bethany fan actually, but I think rewatching it, I noticed that I find that she covers up for him a lot and she almost wants him to appear as this angel.
Right.
And it's fascinating. And it's chilling rewatch too. Like you see things and it's like, oh my God, they hated each other. Towards the end, the arc of them, it's like at the very beginning when you just watch Bethany getting married or that first
and
one.
She's like pregnant and peeing in the bucket.
They seem great and love each other. And then by the end of that last season where they're like fighting on a vacation, it's like they hate each other. And it's just, you could see it like boiling over. Oh, it's good. It's good.
Maybe I will.
I encourage you to rewatch it. What were we talking about? Summer House.
I know. This is the problem when you get two people like us together. It's like, girl, go in every which direction.
I planned we were just going to talk about Jersey, but you know what? We got to cover all this stuff. It's important.
I love Summer House. I know that Carl and Lindsay are getting together, but they showed us that like in the preview. So they're like, oh, what's going to happen? Girl, they're going to be together. Yeah, we saw them like boning in the hot tub.
But you don't think it'll last, right? That's not. Do you think it's just a fling?
I don't know. This is one of those things where either it's going to be awful or they are it forever. Like they're
like they realize you're the one for me.
Yeah. Like and we're so similar and we're taking this.
Do you think this cast will stick around? Or do you think we're going to lose some of these people? Who do you think they're going to lose next season?
I think we're unless Luke and Hannah stay together, I think we're going to lose Luke.
No, Brian.
I mean, he just seems...
I want to look at him,
He just seems too boring. And yeah. I don't know about Jules. We'll see what's up.
TBD.
Yeah.
Okay.
I asked them at BravoCon, I went to the Summer House panel, and I asked them if Jordan was going to come out this season. And Amanda said, he does come out and visit us at the house. And I was like, oh, mean.
What a tease.
I know.
Let's talk about New Jersey.
Okay.
What are you making of New Jersey this season? Are you enjoying it? Are you underwhelmed?
I'm having an interesting experience with Jersey this season in that I am enjoying it, but I do not like one single person on the cast. Like, even the people that I kind of like Melissa or Margaret, behave so poorly that I can't really support them. And I want to like Jackie. But she's like a sharpened pencil. Like, I just can't. She's just such a harsh personality.
Oh, interesting.
That I can't really.
Wait,
and she's so sensitive. And
thin-skinned. That bugs me about Jackie. I do feel like every little thing. What don't you like about Margaret?
I as much as I love the Your Husband's in the Pool.
Your Husband's in the Pool.
Right.
Right.
Or. As unforgivable as what Danielle Staub did to her in that store and pull her ponytail, like Margaret dumped water on her head and she's a sober person.
Yeah.
So like, you know,
and in some level it's asking for it, right? Like you're asking for some sort of physicality.
Yes.
And I find it confusing too when they're physical on these shows, because in real life, if somebody were to do that to you, yes, you would punch them or something like that in self-defense. Like if somebody's pouring water or whatever.
Right.
But also they're filming a TV show. So I think of like, well, if I was in that position, they're technically a coworker, so they shouldn't get physical.
Right. But if we were coworkers and you were pouring water on my head, I'd fucking push you and be like, stop pouring water on my head.
Yeah.
But I think what Danielle did was then like stalk around the room and come back and, you know, like the moment had kind of passed. But I mean, you can yell at them all you want, but she sometimes takes it to this like level and then is like, oh, she attacked me. It's like, bitch, you started it and you couldn't finish it, so I don't really feel bad for you.
Are you gonna miss Danielle? She announced her retirement from the show.
Not really. I find her very unpleasant to watch.
I think they will need to bring in someone messy though, right?
Yeah, well, they have Jennifer.
Yeah,
but I can't.
But I don't think Jennifer's messy enough.
I don't think she's messy in an interesting way. Danielle is a mentally unwell person.
I don't mean to laugh at that, but I'm just like replaying all the things Danielle has done in my head.
She's pathological and she has this insane but easily recognizable pattern of behavior that I do find a bit fascinating to watch, whereas Jennifer just is so insecure that she needs to pretend like she's really rich.
See, I've been enjoying some of Jennifer this season. I like a lot of her like individual storylines. Like I like the brother stuff. I
love
like the daughter stuff.
Yeah, I love that too. And I love when she was like, okay, my daughter's being bullied and I did this, so I'm going to apologize for it. But then she goes and throws plates at people and is like a dick.
Yeah. Yeah. What about Caroline? So she was in the Super Bowl commercial with Teresa. And, you know, I think some people want her back. Some people don't. Where do you stand? You don't like a person coming back.
Yeah. So I'm like happy with what. Did you hear Caroline's podcast on Caroline and Albie's podcast? So apparently they offered to bring her back.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, we'll make you a friend of and we'll pay you this much money. And she was like, no, you're either going to pay me this much money and make me a full cast member or I'm not coming back. And they were like, okay, never mind. So.
And I don't, what I have a problem with when it comes to OGs, like on these shows, is their paychecks are probably so big that it's just taking away. On Orange County, where did they go on vacation? It was like Miami. It's like they don't have a production budget because they're probably giving it all to these.
Well, and I've found the trips to be lacking
lately, really lacking.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, I feel they've been terrible lately. At Orange County, do they go to Miami? New York has gone to Miami 100 times already.
Well, I think that was because the Countess couldn't leave the country.
And it was a really good Miami trip, I will say
that. It was a good Miami trip. I mean, I'm fine with the Miami trip, but I mean, where are they going on New Jersey this season? They went to Jackie's fucking house that's barely in the Hamptons. They're going
Shore.
To the Jersey Shore, which,
so
okay, fine. But are they even going to go on a trip? Oh, they're sending Teresa to Italy with all the kids.
Yeah, but I need the whole cast to go to Italy.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Do you think that at this point in filming, Teresa knew she was getting a divorce?
Yes. Yeah. I think Teresa's known for a while now. Like, into last season, I think she knew. I think that we're all kind of pretending. And I heard these rumors that, like, that whole pool guy thing, like, he was with somebody else. But, like, and I don't know if this is true, but people were saying that she was with, like, a 20-something, and she didn't want that on the show. And so, you know, the pool guy was kind of like an easy cover-up or something. But I don't know if that's true.
That pool guy is fucking
hot. He's so fucking hot. I know.
Oh, my God.
I know. Tony, I love him.
I love, I love him. Girl, I went deep on her Instagram looking for vacation bathing suit pictures.
I found it too. Isn't that so funny? Isn't that so funny when you're just like in bed and it's like you're searching for like not even a cast member. It's like someone who just appeared on someone's phone in an episode. You're like looking for their Instagram.
Yeah. And well, I justified it as like, well, I can put links to it in the recap. So, you know, this is work. People.
I know. It's work. It's a job. Do you think that she knew she was going to get to
work?
Yeah. She's done for a while.
I think they knew the whole time. Speaking of people that hated each other, when they did that special with Andy, oh my God.
Oh yeah, the tension between those two of them. You know, I still believe that Melissa and Teresa do hate each other, and they're just playing nice for the camera, which is fine. I get it. It's for the family or whatever, but like, they hate each other.
But I also think that is very common. You know, it's like everybody has a sister-in-law that they hate.
You know, I talked about this on the show, but I rewatched like those, the reunions of, I don't know what season it was, but like when Kathy and Melissa first joined.
Yes, and I saw it on Twitter. When
I had a different opinion rewatching. I was like, actually, I understood Teresa, why she'd be pissed. But at the time, I thought like Teresa was in the wrong. But rewatching, I was like, oh, actually, I feel like Melissa and Kathy did shadily come on this show.
Yes, I agree with that too. But I don't think Teresa maybe handled it really well.
Somebody wrote in a question about Teresa. Emily said, Teresa always seems so vacant. Is she really like that in person? Or do you think she's actually very smart and she's just producing a good show?
I think Teresa is one of the dumbest people that has ever been on television. I actually do not believe that she can read. However,
she's got a bunch of best-selling books.
Right. But I mean,
she's the most, like, when you really think about it, she's had the She's like the most prolific author out of the Housewives universe.
Yeah.
Which is so depressing.
Maybe Bethany has more?
Maybe Bethany, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, Bethany still... has a ghostwriter. Oh, do you want to hear something crazy?
Wait, yes, please.
So Bethany has a ghostwriter, and I think she's credited on the books, but Bethany and the ghostwriter have done like 5 books together, and they've never met in person.
What?
Yeah, and that they did like the first book or the first 2 books, and they never met. And so Bethany was like, well, now it's bad luck if we meet. And so they've worked together on 5 books and never once met in person.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine?
You know what bugs me now that I'm thinking of that? In my rewatches of Bethany getting married, I remember specifically a scene where she's in her wedding dress and she's got all the pages in front of her and she's talking about how she's got to write this book. And that frustrates me as a ghostwriter. I get mad when I see things on the show where they're pretending that they wrote the books, right? Like, it's so frustrating.
Usually they don't. Usually it's like I was on the show with Erica, or I remember Sheree talking to her ghostwriter, so I appreciate that.
I know Ariana and Tom, they were my name's on the cover, the interviews and stuff, and it means so much to me because I see these other people who are just fully taking complete credit for everything. Yes.
But also, if I worked with somebody who wanted to take full and complete credit and they signed me a paycheck, I'd be like, fine, girl. I'm not above being like totally quiet about something. But I think Teresa is dumb. However, I think she's savvy. And so I think that she knew how to use the show to play stories in the tabloids to I mean, remember Sizzletan? Right. Like, she was one of the first to start making money.
And I think Jersey was the first city, and probably Teresa was part of that, of they were getting the Life and Style covers and like those tabloid covers.
Well, and she was getting paid for all those.
Right. And that comes up when I rewatch those reunions. It like comes up and I was thinking, oh yeah, Jersey was the first franchise, I think, that really got like the press coverage like they did in terms of tabloids.
I think that New York, like the second season of New York, I believe, opens with Jill and Bethany reading page 6 in Jill's kitchen about them. And I think that, you know, Ramona always says New York is what made it happen. And she's right. Because once it was in New York, the media started covering it and paying attention to it.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right that New Jersey was. And so, I mean, this is a little tidbit from the book that I'll share with you, is that I've talked to a bunch of people who work at various assorted tabloids and media, how they deal with housewives and stuff like that. And so apparently when Teresa was getting paid for those Life and Style covers and things like that, all those different tabloids, which are owned by, there's a bunch of them that are owned by the same company. And then she couldn't get paid for them anymore because of the tax stuff. And so they, like, once they bought her kids a trampoline and they like threw one of her kids a birthday party.
Oh my God.
So they were like paying.
That's how they got around it.
Paying. Yeah.
Oh my God, Brian, that's good.
Yeah. So I think that, and she has that lawyer, and I think that lawyer serves her really well.
Does he, though? She went to jail.
Well, I think that, well, she has the new lawyer now who I think does all the deals and stuff like that. Like, I think he's more of a manager than an actual lawyer.
Yeah,
well, she went to jail because her and Joe are literal criminals.
Sometimes we forget that. We look the other way, Brian. We have to look the other way. I miss those early seasons of Jersey, though, when it was the tabloids would come up, and I love the Jill and Bethany of it all. I have an old tabloid in my office in Us Weekly with Jill, Kelly Bensimone, and Bethany on the cover, and it's just like, take me back.
Oh my God. I will never forget my favorite cover ever of the National Enquirer, and it was right after Ellen DeGeneres and Anne Heche broke up. And it was a picture of Anne Heche looking awful. And the headline just said, "Gays want Anne dead." And I was like, yes, we do. Every last one of
sure
us.
Do.
Kill her.
I feel like I had other Jersey questions, but...
This episode was doo-doo.
It was just boring, right?
Yeah, it was just like getting over all this stuff.
A lot of filler episode. And we're getting to Jersey Shore next week, which looks sort of interesting.
I do appreciate how Jackie... See, because Jackie is so often right. And so I want to... Like, I love that she stands up to Teresa, because I feel like it must pain the intelligent people, the staff, that they have to kowtow to Teresa. And I loved how this episode, Jennifer approaches her and is like, I'm sorry, you're a great mother, whatever. And she's like, well, you keep doing awful shit and then apologizing. That's not going to keep working forever. And I appreciate that sentiment.
Yeah.
Even though it's probably a little too real life and a little to not housewives.
Right. This episode of Everything Iconic is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. Now, I'm not sure if you've noticed, but it's definitely allergy season. You all know I've been struggling a little bit. I usually love the springtime, but I struggle with my allergies, which are just not the most fun. But luckily with Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, the only tissues I like to use, I can say, bring on the blooms, and I can face those allergies head on. Now, Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved, so you can attack watery eyes and battle runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. That's why I love these, because they're so incredibly soft, and I don't want to touch my nose with something that's not. Now, I am obsessed with Kleenex. I think they are so really just the best to do it. So for this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on. Again, this allergy season, do not pick up something else. Grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
What about Dolores? Because I find that Dolores is not really serving a huge purpose on the show.
No, but I think that she's a good kind of Teresa wrangler. And I think that Teresa
Whisperer.
Yeah, yeah, I think Teresa needs a person like that. But I do find it interesting. I enjoy Dolores more than I thought I would.
Did you see she smokes?
Yes.
What was that? I was shocked. I didn't even see it in the episode. Somebody sent me a screen grab of her with a cigarette. And I always say the best reality star is the one who's willing to smoke on camera.
Yes.
And
unlike Lisa Vanderpump.
She did that one time, though, didn't she?
She did
it one time. I know. I love when they smoke on camera. It's that Lisa Vanderpump moment where she's on vacation with Ken and she finally has a cigarette on camera. That was so... That Valerie Cherish...
Yes.
Where Valerie Cherish had the cigarette. Ugh, it was just fantastic.
How many of them do you think smoke, like, secretly?
Oh, I think a lot of them. I think, like, 80... 80%.
Who do you think is the heaviest secret Real Housewives smoker?
Oh, gosh. I feel like the New York women. I feel like Dorinda, Luann. I feel like they all smoke. Luann
definitely
the
smoke.
Singer, Luann, I think, smokes a lot.
Do you think they smoke more or do cocaine more?
Oh, good question. Cocaine? I don't know. Smokes? I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, you probably smoke more in a day than you do cocaine in a day, I would hope. But, you know, I bet some of them are on both of those trains.
Do you think New York, who do you think, out of all the casts, who do you think is the most drug-friendly, let's say?
I would guess New York.
Yeah.
And I would guess Vanderpump.
But see, I don't think the Vanderpump, I mean...
I don't think anymore. I don't think the old-school people, but, I mean... When you're talking about James and those rages and Lala and all that stuff, like...
I was just watching an episode, I think it was like their Bachelorette party, where they seemed a little snoozy, and I was like, what's going on here? And maybe they all just gave up the...
Yeah, the no drugs. More Adderalls.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, so what... Let me ask you these questions people wrote in. So Jenna said, your VPRs end with Tom and Tom. How do you do New Jersey recaps for Vulture?
Molly Fitzpatrick does them, who is hilarious, and she was on vacation for a few weeks, so I filled in for her, but I don't normally do them. It used to be on the same time as like another one, because I can only do so many at once, right. And so she started doing them. And
do you pitch Vulture like which ones you want to do, or do they assign?
I started when Julie Klausner left, and she did Beverly Hills in New York, so I started with those, and they didn't do that many, and we kind of expanded, and so I started doing Orange County and Vanderpump Rules, and I pitched Summer House because I was willing to do it for free because right. I just wanted to do it, and they were like, oh, so we're actually trying it out to see.
So everyone read them. So
yeah, see
people
how many
click
people
on
read
them.
I
don't normally. I stopped. I used to read your all the recaps all the time. Then when I started the podcast, I just stopped because I didn't want to even like subconsciously steal anyone's stuff. I did that with podcasts too, but I knew you were coming over, so I went and read some, and I was just cracking up. They're so fucking funny.
Thank you. So we end with Tom and Tom.
Yeah. So Vanderpump, your Vanderpump recaps end with the fan fiction between them. What would your fan fiction if you were doing New Jersey?
Oh, interesting. I find that like I did. Jill Zarin is a spy.
That's
fan
my
fiction.
Yeah. Right. That's the one I remember the most.
Oh my god, people hated it though. So I kind of stopped doing it. I don't know. They're like, this joke is too old. Maybe I'll bring it back.
Did Jill ever reach out?
Yeah.
She did. What'd she say?
She's like, thank you for keeping me relevant.
Of course she did.
Because she like totally doesn't get the joke at all. Whatever. I mean, that's why I love her. Did you see her at BravoCon?
No. Was she at BravoCon?
Yeah, girl. She was like going to the panels and like heckling.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't even see her. I didn't even know she was there.
And she had a Zarin Fabrics booth. And so
I saw the booth, but I didn't see her.
This is like my favorite thing that happened at BravoCon. So I go up to the booth and there are these two girls working at the booth. And I'm like, oh, what is this? She's like, oh, Zarin Home, blah, blah, blah. We have fabric samples, whatever. And I said, you can buy a carpet at BravoCon? She goes, yeah, you can.
So weird.
And I said, has anyone bought a carpet? And she goes, you can buy a carpet if you want. And I was like, no. Oh, snap.
They brought all that carpet in and no one bought it. You know, I thought it was weird that Bronwyn's daughter was like selling stuff there in the, there was like that whole area was like the shop. And it's like, I understand how like the Summer House kids were there selling their drink or something that we've seen on the show. But it like was so weird to me that, yeah, Zarin Fabrics is there selling carpet, or the Bronwyn's daughter was there. I don't even remember what she was.
She has
talking.
A line of dancewear.
Right. It was probably
for kids. Yeah.
But it was just strange to me. I'm like, that's not a product we associate so much with the show. Like it was, and at that point, I think it was just airing Orange County. So,
and Sean was there with those awful necklaces.
Oh my God. I met Sean and Bronwyn at the Watra Crappens. Do you know who those
are?
Yeah. So they did like an award show thing, and Bronwyn and Sean were there, and they were very drunk. And it was wild.
Would you have a three-way with Sean and Bronwyn?
No.
I would.
You would?
I would.
I think I got the impression that they do that a lot, and they've said it on the show, of course. Yeah. But I mean, good on them.
Yeah. Like, I'm glad people are willing to talk about stuff like that. And, you know,
I didn't like Bronwyn at all, but I sort of feel like maybe she might have a good second season. I don't know.
I can see that. Well, I'm very curious that she and the mother are not talking.
The mother is crazy, though.
The mother is crazy.
Dr. Deb.
Yeah. So New Jersey, I always love a kind of to end a Housewives recap with Housewives like staring off into the middle distance and thinking like, what have I done to my life? So it'd probably be like some of that. Or it would be, I would start a parallel recap of Teresa's cellmate who like got out of prison.
That'd be good.
And like what's going on in her life.
Do you think she keeps in touch with any of those women?
No.
Jenna says, do you listen to any Bravo podcasts? Everything Iconic excluded, of course. And what TV shows do you watch like outside of reality?
So I don't actually listen to a ton of podcasts. I do love An Everything Iconic. I love A Bitch Sesh, which I'm on frequently. I like them. Andy's Girls, which I'm also on a bit. Anyone that I'm on is the one I listen to. I like Two Judgy Girls. I'm like, oh, I don't listen to any of these podcasts, but I listen to all of them. Like, but occasionally I used to listen to podcasts at the gym, but, I hurt my knees. So I've started swimming. And so you can't listen to podcasts in the pool.
Yeah.
So I watch all those. I'm obsessed with Love Island, which I know is a reality show.
The UK, or is there a US version? There's a US
version.
There was a
US version
recently.
I'm especially obsessed with the UK version.
Because you, do you feel that UK is reality TV gold? Do you think it's much better than here?
It's different. It's like, it's a lot cheaper.
My boyfriend, like, he prefers everything UK reality, and he watches all those. He watches Love Island UK. He watches all the UK dating reality MTV stuff, and I don't watch it. He watches like literally, he watches all the UK stuff.
I love it.
And I can't get into it. But what about scripted shows?
Scripted shows. I like a lot of comedies. My husband is a television producer and he makes like really smart people shows.
Like what?
He makes My Brilliant Friend, which is the Italian show on HBO. He makes The Young Pope and The New Pope. He made a show called Dublin Murders that was just on Stars that was really good.
He makes all the highbrow stuff.
He comes home and he's like, what do we have to watch? What Bravo is on?
I can't get Matt to watch much Bravo. He'll like dip into Below Deck. But I feel like we split off. He watches like murder mystery stuff and then I watch all my Bravo. And then we come together. He doesn't mind Vanderpump Rules. He used to be really into it. Now he doesn't watch it.
But he doesn't watch as much as I do. Like, he doesn't watch New Jersey. He doesn't watch Dallas, but he loves Atlanta. I just got him into Atlanta.
Elaine is good.
Yeah.
Do you watch Married to Medicine at all?
No, I don't.
You should get into it, Brian Scott.
Really?
I think it's one of the best.
I just got into Potomac and I loved it.
So good. Potomac is so good.
Any scripted shows? No, what show I love, which is so stupid and trashy, is Riverdale. Oh my God.
Oh my God, why?
It's like...
I watched the whole first season and I get it.
I watch it every... I have a friend who writes on the show, so that's why I started watching it. But now I just watch it and I am a hit with like 14-year-old teenage girls. Like, we were just at a friend's house and she has a 13-year-old teenage girl and we sat and had like just a 45-minute conversation about Riverdale.
I watched the whole first season like in a binge and it was, I enjoyed every second of it, but then I just never continued on.
It's like dumb and the people are hot. I love things.
Sometimes you need that though.
I love things like that where it, yeah.
I just got into the Lone Star 911 shows. Have you heard of those?
Yeah.
And it's that kind of thing. Like it's just like dumb and easy.
Yeah.
And yeah. And they're gorgeous people.
It's so weird. In the UK, they make drama scripted shows and there's like 5 or 6 episodes. So like Dairy Girls, which is on Netflix here, is genius. And I love it, but it's on for six weeks and then it's gone.
Yeah.
So it's a different kind of thing there than it is here. And I find myself watching less and less American television because you kind of have to hunt it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for, I mean, Bravo shows.
Bravo shows, I know. Amber says, please elaborate on your favorite floozy, Sonia Morgan. What do you love about
Ms. love Sonia? That, I mean, she is such a Tennessee Williams character. She's so delusional. She's trapped in the past. She can't get over it. But also, she's just so funny and... She's not dumb like Teresa's dumb. She's just daffy. Like, she doesn't always quite get it in a really hilarious way. Like, remember when she was talking about gender fluids? What was she calling it? It was like gender liquid.
Gender liquid, yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's just, oh my God, that's so funny to me.
Poor Barb had never had a chance on that show.
No, she sure did it. Gender liquid. Oh my God. I just love her so much. I could just watch her do anything. She's just so amusing.
That's why I love New York the most, is because I could watch those women just being like, I'm fine if they don't have a lot of drama. Like, even they're saying without Bethany, I'm like, I'm okay with it if it's not a lot of drama, to just watch Sonia and Ramona be themselves, like packing or just talking to help. Like,
exactly.
I'm fine
with- just wind them up and let them go,
right?
And you will get gold. And yeah, so I just, but I also, what I love about Sonia is that I think that deep down inside, she's a good person. Like, her heart's in the right place. I don't think she wants badly for anybody. And even when she's fighting with people, I do think that she is a really good intentioned person. But I mean, yeah, she's crazy.
Yeah, she's crazy. And I don't think you could say the same about Ramona, that deep down she's a...
No. And I don't think a lot of them are deep down like good people. And so I find it easier.
I think that Dorinda's deep down a good human being.
Yes, true. Yeah.
Okay, so Lisa Romeo, last question. As a founder of the Real Housewives Institute, what studies, research, exhibits would there be if there was a real, let's say, an institute that people could walk in? BravoCon kind of did that.
Yeah, the museum,
which was so fun.
Yeah, I feel, well, I mean, you're going to get to read a book of it in 2020, so you'll
get... Is the book coming out this year, or will we get to read it this year-ish?
Hopefully.
Okay.
It's due shortly, and then we'll see how long the editing process is.
We need it for our Christmas trees.
Totally. We need it for, like, in my ideal scenario is there'll be another BravoCon, and since Bravo's not cooperating, I'll have, like, a shadow book launch during BravoCon.
I love that idea, and you could be... selling it right next to the Zarin fabric carpets.
I'm gonna be like, you know how Girl Scouts set up stands like out front of pot dispensaries and sell Girl Scout cookies?
Just outside
that's
of
gonna
Bravo
be
Con.
Me outside BravoCon, like with my book on the corner, like selling it.
Right when I read that, I don't know where I saw the announcement that you were doing it. I was like so excited. I'm like, that's exactly what I want to read. Like, we need it.
What else would be in the Real Housewives Institute? I mean, I feel like the Morgan letters would definitely
don't you
be
think
there.
That Sonia Morgan should come out with like a special edition toaster oven.
I feel like Sonia needs to get one of these things off the ground.
One of them, right?
Just something, because I think that you and I both know that fans of this stuff are rabid and they're underserved. And if you'll spend hundreds of dollars to go see Luann's objectively not good cabaret show,
it's legit terrible. I saw it twice.
Yeah,
like, it's terrible.
Exactly, and I mean, then they'll buy Sonia's whatever the hell. She also gives great cameo. People send me Sonia Mortar. So their cameos that Sonia did, and I'm like, oh my god, amazing.
Someone sent me one where she was by a pool in Ibiza or Serbia. It's great.
The only GIF I have saved on my desktop is one of her lying in bed with a tiara and like a remote control. Oh my god, I said it all the time.
So the Sonia Morgan letters, anything else that like pops into your
I'm
head?
I'm trying to think. I mean, nowhere I would want the Real Housewives Institute Museum to be is in the alley behind Sir.
Oh yeah, the dump. The Sir dump is the like Sir my dump. Favorite.
Oh my god,
location.
The Sir dumpster.
It's my favorite.
Yeah,
it's just the best. I know. You know,
my
I really
sister-in-law and I took a picture in it.
I tried so with the cocktail book. I was like, I kept telling him, like, we need one photo by the dumpster because we did all the photos for the cocktails at their house, and I was like, we just need one. Like, let's just get one by the Sir dumpster. But everyone's like, well, then we have to travel the whole photography room.
I thought it was worth it.
I felt like we needed it.
This is what's going to sell the book to the people.
I know, but there's like a ton of Sir dump references, like a bunch of dumpster references in the book.
Oh, I wonder why. I wonder who wrote those in.
The editor, it was funny. Like, there'd be just so many notes of like, what is this? And like, I was like, it's the Sir dumpster. Like, what do you mean? What is this? It's important. God.
Erica and I had a straight guy editor.
We had what? We had a straight guy too. Yeah.
And who published your book?
Hot Mifflin.
Okay. Because I was wondering if it was the same guy. But so we were writing about how Erica performed once at a circuit party. And he's like, what's a circuit party? And so I'm going over the notes with Erica. And I'm like, he wants to know what a circuit party is. And she got so mad. She was like, who the fuck doesn't know what a circuit party is? Oh, what is wrong with this guy? I'm not explaining this. He could go look it up if he doesn't know.
I love that.
Yeah. And so we had to elaborate on what a circuit party was.
Oh, I love that. Brian, this was so fun. Where can people find you on social media?
At Brian J. Moylan on all the things.
On all the things. And I'm at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to support this podcast, head on over to patreon.com/everythingiconic. If you donate $4 more per month, you get access to the bonus episodes. I'm doing one a month. More importantly, you're helping support the show. If you want to come see Everything Iconic live, there's still tickets available to the Dallas show. And I'm so excited. We'll be in San Francisco next week. And what else? All the links will be in the episode description. I love you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Brian. Anything else you want to plug?
No, I love you.
I love you. I know. I'm so glad we got to meet in person.
I know, me too.
And I can't wait for that book. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.